Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hope all is well with you and yours, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for God has been so good to us. He's been better than good to us, and we're just so grateful. I don't know about you, but had a wonderful time of resurrection. God truly showed his hand and his blessing, giving us traveling mercy. Allowed us to go up and down the dangerous highways, through the airways, all over the place. And for that, we are grateful. We are grateful to be here one more time. How many of you are just grateful to be here one more time? Without any further ado, we're going to turn this part of the service over to our praise and worship leader, Sister Harris. Sister Harris, you come on to us. God have.
Good morning, Safe House. It's such a great opportunity, as I say every week, and I don't say these as mundane words, but it's really a wonderful opportunity to worship and praise a true and a living God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. We clap our hands in the sanctuary. We clap our hands to give you the glory. We clap our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. We sing our song in the sanctuary. We sing our song to give you the glory. We sing our song to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. Jesus, we give you the praise. Emmanuel, we lift up your name. Heavenly Father, coming Messiah. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. We clap our hands in the sanctuary. We clap our hands to give you the glory. We clap our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. We sing our song in the sanctuary. We sing our song to give you the glory. We sing our song to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. Jesus, we give you the praise. Emmanuel, we lift up your name. Heavenly Father, coming Messiah. And we will praise you for the rest of our days. Yes, we will praise you for the rest of our days. Hallelujah. Praise him. Place to put a praise, to put a hallelujah if you haven't worshiped him all week. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to me. You walks with me, he walks with me. And oh, how he talks with me. And oh, how you tell me that I am your own. And oh, how you comfort me. And oh, how you counsel me. It still amazes me, it amazes me that I am your own. No fire can burn me, no battle can turn me, no mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand and I'm walking in victory, 'cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand. No fire can burn me, no mountain can stop me, no battle can turn me, 'cause you hold my hand. And I'm walking in your victory, 'cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hand, 'cause you hold my hand. Oh God, you hold my hand, you hold my hand, you hold my hand. Oh, you hold my hand, you hold my hand, you hold my hand, 'cause you know. Hear my humble do not pass. Don't pass us by. Savior, do not pass. I'm calling, Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Please don't forget about me. Have you know the Lord has not forgotten about you? Please don't forget about me. Savior, do not pass me by. I will be with you. I will be with you. God is saying, trust me, trust me. If you will only trust me, trust me. Said, if you would only depend on me, depend on me, depend on me, and while on others thou art called.
Ask the Lord. I know this thing, that situation, circumstance coming. You said, Lord, there's no way that you can be there and let me go through this. But I'm here to remind you today that he has not forgotten you, that his hand is not short where he can't save. For God is good and he's worthy of all our praises. Whether we think so or not, whether we find ourselves in that situation or that circumstance, whether it's something we're done or whether it's something there, but just know that he has not forgotten you. For the Bible says it like this, that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And if you have called in purpose on this morning, I ask that you just raise your hand wherever you may be. Nobody can see you right now, amen. raise your hands to him in a sign of surrender to say, Lord, I give it all to you, Lord Jesus. I don't know my own way, Lord, but I ask that you lead and guide me. For you said the steps of a good man are ordered by you, oh God. So show me where to go. Show me how to move, oh God. I don't know what's best for me, Lord, but you know what's in front of me and you know what's behind me, Lord. You know the things that I've been through, oh God. You know the things that I've seen, oh God. You know the things that affected me and how they affected me, oh God. But Lord, you didn't turn me to be better, Lord, but you asked me to be better, oh God. No matter what I've gone through, Lord Jesus, that all these things, oh God, have come to shake me, oh God, so that when I come forth, oh God, that I come forth pure as gold, oh God. For it's not my own doing, oh God, but it's your doing, oh God. And we say thank you this morning. We say thank you this morning, Lord. We said we love you this morning, Lord. We said we praise your name. Lord, we understand and know that it's not us, oh God, but it's you, Lord Jesus, that's continually making us, oh God. As we walk towards perfection on this morning, oh God, we come to you as humble as we know how. Hallelujah. With uplifted hands is a sign of surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Ask the Lord that I need your help, Lord. I need your guidance, oh God. I need your understanding, oh God. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus, Lord. I honor you this morning, Lord, to know that you're able, Lord Jesus, to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad, oh God. Lord Jesus, for nothing does not happen, oh God, without, Lord Jesus, you seeing, oh God, Lord. And I ask that you continue just to let us know, Lord Jesus, no matter what we go through, where we've been, where we've gone, oh God, that you still hold our tomorrow. Lord Jesus, that we have hope, oh God, even though hope is deferred, oh God, that you still have us, oh God, that you still see us, Lord, that you still know us, oh God, and you're waiting for us, Lord Jesus, to come to you, Lord, and say, this is, I need you, oh God. Lord, I need you in a mighty way, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I ask that you help us, oh God, to go forward, Lord, and we thank you. But Lord, I understand, Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, those who seek your help, oh God, those who ask for you, Lord, you said there will you be. And Lord, we just honor you, Lord Jesus. We ask them for your help, not your support. Hallelujah. On this morning, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and ask you continue to watch over and keep, Lord, you those who've been sick and shut in, oh God, those who, Lord, who have some physical ailments in their bodies, oh God, things that are going on, oh God, ask that you love on them, bless them, oh God, keep them, oh God, strengthen them, Lord, like only you can, love on them, Lord, like only you can. And Lord, we honor you this morning in this place and in this space, oh God. We honor you, Lord, in this virtual part of our church, oh God. Lord, that we go forth, Lord, that I don't say what I want to say, but Lord, but that your words come divinely out of my mouth, oh God, to meet your people where they are. They see the need, Lord Jesus, and help them, Lord Jesus, to go to the next level in you. And Lord, we honor you, Lord, on this morning. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be before thy people. And we ask you to do all these things in others, Lord Jesus, in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true. We walk by faith and not by sight. Good morning, Safe House Church, and hallelujah anyhow, amen. Just so grateful to have another opportunity to be before you here on this morning. And we just so grateful to God for our dear sister, amen, Dominique, who continually just supports us, amen. We know that baby's coming soon, so we ask that you all saints be praying for her, amen, that she has God's speed and God's hand is on her on this morning, amen. And we're just grateful to be back here in this space. I don't know about you, but I'm still feasting off last week. I know those here in the virtual world that you didn't get an opportunity to see that, and I'm trying to get that video uploaded, amen. But the podcast should be on today, or should be on shortly, amen, and you can download that podcast. But you missed a treat on last week. God blessed us with a full house. We were standing room only. Hallelujah, amen. And like I said, we were standing room only, and the house was definitely full. And we're just grateful for all God is continually to do. Even when it said it wouldn't work, amen, but God has a way, amen, and God has a way. So thank you for just packing the house out on last Sunday, amen. We know it's Easter, so we know we have some special guests in the building, amen. But a lot of them were just saints, amen, coming together. And I looked this morning, amen, the chat rooms are full, amen. Zoom is full, amen. Everybody's here. It does my heart some good, amen, to see that God's people are hungry for his word, amen, and are looking towards growing and continuing to grow in this space. And thank you for being so diligent and blessing us on this week. You all, as you all know, First Lady, again, honor the First Lady Felicia. I'm just grateful to have her. And she got on a flight and came with me to Alabama. Amen. We made it safely and we got here and we enjoyed ourselves. A little tornado came through. But nonetheless, God protected us. He kept us and we enjoyed the time that we did have. I'm so grateful for my mom coming up to be able to support us so that we can leave. As you all know, that Felicia's mother has had some significant health setbacks. And with that, she has just been by her mom's side. You know, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians, that children, that we should honor our parents, amen, and that our days will be long upon the earth. And if it was by my judgment, she's definitely doing that, amen. But we know he's the judge and ruler over that. But she's been supporting her mom. So just to be able to get her away was really a blessing to us. And thank you, church, for supporting us in that. And on that Wednesday, this allowed me to counsel the Bible study, to be able to spend a little bit more time with her before she got back on a plane, amen. So she got back safely. She's back there in the Carolinas, and we're just so grateful for that on this morning, that she got back safely and everything. And again, grateful to my mom for lending her support to us as a family. And as my church family, you all, those who stepped up last week, Sister Prophetess Jordan just stepped in and just hit things without a beat, amen. And God just blessed her to be able to pray some tremendous prayers over many of the saints on last week. I mean, amen. But just so many people want to be prayer. And this is the thing, you know, the Bible talks about, be ye also ready. You don't know when your time is going to come, amen, when you're going to be asked to do something, amen. And she was in place and ready to go. And it was a significant blessing to many that she prayed for last week. So we're grateful for that on this morning. How many of you just feel good in your spirit? I just feel good in my spirit to know, even though last week we talked about, you don't know the half. You don't know half of what he went through. We already saw where he was on the cross, but the preparation to get to that point, to be ready to go on the cross, was a significant journey. And there was a lot on that. Amen. Thank you to all those out there in Facebook land, Zoom, Twitch, whatever platform you may be on. We are grateful that you have chosen to be here with us on this morning, amen. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here, and we are grateful for that. There are many people who do what we do now on this online platform, but you chose to be here, and we don't take that lightly. For we still believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We believe in salvation. We do believe in water baptism, amen. And we do believe in living a holy life. For God is calling us unto holiness, and that's part of what we do. All right, as we move forward, I don't think I have any birthdays, but you all tell me in the chat if I have any birthdays that I'm missing, any wedding anniversaries or anything of that nature. I think we are good there. And like I said, now the Easter season is behind us. Amen. The next time we will be in person church together, we'll be, like as I told you all, thank the Lord, our contract has been approved, our bill has been paid, and so we are ready to go. Hallelujah. So we'll be together again on the 21st, April 21st. We will be there in church, person church. So that's not next Sunday, the Sunday after that, April 21st. I will get some graphics put up with all our dates for the year, so that you can plan yourself accordingly. I do my best to try to get up all the dates for the year for a couple of reasons. You know, organization matters, amen. I'm not the best organizer, but I'm doing my best. I've gotten better. And then you allow people to plan, because in this thing of life, I, for one, and the Bible speaks about this balance. And I know many of you have vacations and things, and we're not one of those churches. I encourage you, go to vacation, spend time with your family, and that's your first ministry. You know, what good would it be that everybody else around me gets saved and I lose my own family? So these things are important, and we get them. So we'll lay that schedule out that we have, amen. And of course, I want you there every time the door is open. But if you can't be there, you know, you're not in a church where you're going to get beat up. I'm not saying others do that, but I'm just telling you from my point of view, we're not going to beat you up. But we will be concerned just to make sure that you're good and you're okay. If you got to take your moment, or that's when you can get it, we get it. Because more importantly, are you living this 24/7? You know, like I said, as much as I love to see you in the place there with us, my bigger concern is, do you live this life all the time? Not just when we see you on Sunday, not when we just come together on Sunday, but are you working towards perfection in Christ every single day of your life? This is what this is really about. So we're just grateful, and many of you, that tremendous, tremendous testimony. Like I said, last week was just, whew, it was just like that. That tremendous testimony that Sister Webb gave of how God brought her from bankruptcy all the way to this present point in time now, where entrepreneurial business is just is growing by leaps and bounds. I'm not saying booming because she's not there yet. She can be booming because she's going to make $1 million. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When she starts gross up $1 million, we're going to start talking about it booming. But we want to continue to encourage her and what God is doing for her in her life, and to be a testament to others that God is able, that we go through things through a season. I was listening on yesterday, and I think I heard Miles Monroe was saying, and you all know he's one of my all-time favorites, even though he's no longer with us. But this is why it's important, you know, that we write books, that we do videos, all this stuff, so that when people are no longer here with us, the wisdom that they had is left. Why do you think the Bible is critically important? Because the Bible is the wisdom and the word of God that was left on record for you and us that surpasses all time. I got a quote one time from Jamal Bryant, and I don't know if it was his quote, but the quote simply said is that the shortest pencil is better than the best memory. And that kind of stuck with me, that the shortest pencil is better than the best memory. Meaning that what? Once I write it down, I don't care how good your memory is, that at some point your memory's going to fade. We all get old. We all go through things. We all see stuff in our body and things change. But if it's written down, and I'm learning as I get older, if it's written down, it can stand the test of time. Amen. And so what Miles Monroe was saying, even in his work, was saying that, you know, when God blesses you with something, you typically lose it first. You lose it first. And then after that loss, then you come to gain, because through that loss, you understand. And that's something what I want to talk about today, because what you understand is many of us are going after one-time things. Lord, if you would do this, and Lord, if you would do that, we won't. Miracles almost per se. We want this to happen in an instant. But what God is really trying to teach us is his system. Oh, I'm getting in what I want to talk about. It's a system of things. So it doesn't matter how many times the Bible talks about it like this. We fall down. That a just man falls a seventh time. But what makes him just is that he continues to get up. Why is that? Because there's a system in play. Oh, I'm about to preach already. Let me get the rest of these out so we can get into this word today. I believe that it's a powerful word from the Lord today to help us understand that even when you're going down, even when you find yourself in the thing, if you change your mindset about what is happening to you, you'll understand that you're just part of a larger system. So if this is your first time here at the Safe House Church, good morning and welcome to the Safe House Church. My name is Dr. Peter Yealy, and I have the distinct privilege and wonderful pleasure to serve God's people in this capacity of pastor. No, it's not easy. It has its ups, it has its downs, but I'm here to tell you today, at the end of the day, that we serve a God who looks high, looks low, and he knows, and he's keeping the record. Here at the Safe House Church, we work on three principles. We call it DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, we're going to walk with you. We're going to talk with you. We're going to show you the word of God. We're going to teach you the word of God as best as we know. We don't know everything. But what I do have, as Paul and Peter said, James P. said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you. And then you take that to the next level. The next piece of this is then empowerment. We empower individuals to do what God has called them to do. Each and every one of us have something to do. And there's a great uniqueness about you. There is no duplication in Christ, in that what he's giving you is uniquely yours. And if you don't do it and you don't use it, then that means we do not have it. Let me be clear. Just like your fingerprint is unique, things are unique to you. There'll never be another T.D. Jakes. There'll never be another Michael Jordan. There'll never be another Martin Luther King. Why? Because if they were, we would already reproduce them. We don't. There'll never be another Winston Churchill, John Stanley. None of these people, right? But they did what God has given them to do, we believe. We don't even know if they meet all the things that God wanted them to do. Maybe we just saw the tip of the iceberg. But the larger point I'm getting at is that God has given you some unique gifts and talents, and we are under the expectation that we need you to manifest them here in the earth, and we are a source of empowerment for that. Then with all of that, You have to have what? Accountability. That gifts are given without repentance. Amen. Meaning that you can just use them to do good or evil. You can use them to perpetuate the gospel, to pull it forward, or you can use it to its detriment. But that choice is up to you. This is why gifts are given without repentance. So using your gifts and your talents to push the word of God to the next level. And we call it DEA. Right? And then when we talk Bible class, we talk about it from in terms of our theoretical framework that we call content, context, and revelation. Content. Content is the word of God, the Bible, the 66 books, the infallible word of God. I believe it literally. I can't speak for you, but I believe everything in there he said happened, happened. I know some would say scientists say this and scientists say that. My Bible continually confirms what science has already known. He said there was a bang and boom, there was a bang. God said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. So, you know, we can go on and on about that. Then the context. Context is what my job is to help you understand what was going on at the time. Think about it. You know, we in basketball season. I know my blood wolf pack took those L's yesterday and on Friday, but it's all good. But what we do is they give you that color commentary. They give you the feel of what was going on. Almost try to get you the opportunity to feel like you were there. That's my job. That's what I do. And then revelation comes from the Spirit. I don't do that. That the Spirit of God lives in you. This is why it's important that you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is a keeper. It's a comforter. It's an interpreter of that which God is saying to us. So this is why I can preach from the 23rd Psalm and everybody in the church get almost a different message. So this is one of the things why, you know, some, like when I think about it in terms of teaching, and because I am a trained professional teacher, that's what I do. One of the things is we have what we call different levels of learning ability inside of the classroom. Some people learn hands-on, some learn, you know, kinesthetically, some learn auditorially, some want to be able to do this and do that. And so you have all these different learners. So what we're always trying to do is construct our lessons around the place that everybody can get something out of it, right? And you have people on all different levels. And that's tough in the classroom to do. But watch this. Here in church, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, if you have God's Spirit inside of you, what's going to happen is the Spirit does that work for me. All he tells me to do is, Peter, put this out here. Peter, lay this out here. And then what happens is, as you take that and you go home and you reflect, this is why I make sure I give scriptures, I give context, I tell you to go home and read this stuff for yourself. As you start to reflect, it'll start to relate to you where you are. Because see, the way it might come out my mouth may not relate to everybody at that particular point in time. But if I just gave you the context of that scripture, right? If I gave you the layout of that scripture, then you go back and you read it in your own private time. Then it starts to minister to you differently. Like, oh, yeah, he said this, but Lord, thank you because I got this. Open your eyes to something that you may have never seen before. This is another reason why you can read. I don't care how many times I read the 23rd Psalm. I literally tell you this. No matter how many times I read the 23rd Psalm, I walk away with something different. And I know I probably read that song 100 times. I know you've read it many times. It's probably beside John 3:16, probably the second most famous Bible verse of all time. I don't have statistics for that, but I'm sure it's in the neighborhood. Right? So, I mean, the 123rd Psalm, I'm sorry, where I was giving context to that. But you get what I'm saying. So the Holy Ghost is essential to us for surviving and living. Because, you know, as much as I love my wife, she didn't die for me. And when times get tough, there's some things that I have a hard time even telling her. But the Spirit there that we lean on, that we cry with, that's with me 24/7, I'm able to speak with him. So, good morning and welcome to the Safe House Church. All right, so again, grateful to all the members here. Like I said, a full house here on the Zoom. Amen. I don't think I've seen it this full in a long time. So we're grateful for that. Amen. And we know those online and those who will watch on the replay, we're just grateful to you. from whom all blessings flow. I ask that you continue to keep our dear friend, Sister Patsy Todd, in your prayers. Amen. Her son went on to be with the Lord on last week. So I know she is going through some things. So keep that whole Todd family in your prayers. Her sisters and all of those who are relatives to them, please keep them in your prayers. Amen. As well as some others and other things that I don't think I'm at liberty to say, but ask that, you know, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so let's move on. Let me get right into what I believe God has given with me, to me to share with you on today. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And I'm just so grateful to him from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. I hope that you're happy in Jesus, happy in Jesus. Be careful on this week. That eclipse is coming through. So if you ain't got them glasses, please don't be looking up there, because, you know, Pastor, I'm definitely not Jesus. Amen. And I can't go in there and put my hands on you. Well, I can put my hands on you. You can receive your sight, but let's use some wisdom. Don't be looking at the sun so it burns your cones and your eyes out of your eyes. Use the, you know, the glasses that they give you or whatever. It's a cool thing to see if you're a science geek or a nerdy person like me, or if you're not, just to see, because even the Bible talks about some of these things, right? You know, and we call them, we got fancy names for them. We call them blood moons, and we call them eclipses and all this stuff. And the Bible speaks of this stuff all the time. Amen. All right, so let's go to the, I have a bit of reading to do for you today. So I ask that you hang in there with me, and we'll get this thing off the tarmac. And then once we get this shit off the tarmac, you'll understand why we did all the reading. This may go into another series. I don't know what I believe God has given me to share with you on today. But it may not, and we'll just see how it goes from there. But again, so grateful to all of you all. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support and your financial support. Amen. That church has financially been supported fairly well, and we're grateful for that. Amen. So we can continue to come on the airwaves and have nice equipment to be able to broadcast like we do right now. So I don't take any of that for granted, and we're grateful for that. All right, so let's go to the book. Let me see if I can get it up here for you. Okay, now it's not showing. Now I know I did this. Let's see. Nope, that's not it. Oh, here we go. The book of 2 Chronicles. I'm going to go to the book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7, which is a very familiar and probably quite famous verse. You'll see that. And give me a second. I'm going to put this other one in here for you real quick. And the other one is Ephesians 4, 10 through 16. So like I said, I do have a little reading to do for you today. And give you a chance to grab that. And then we'll switch over to the reading screen. So you want to go 2 Chronicles first, chapters number 7, verses 11 through 22. Then we're going to go Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. All right, so we can switch over to our reading channel here. Hallelujah. Grateful, grateful, grateful. Let me get my little picture up here, I guess. Right, there we are. Right, so Ephesians, not Ephesians, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles, we said 11. And it says this. Let me get that down. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, his prosperity prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sacrificed this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Remember that, perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David their father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenant with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be the ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and thy house, which I have sanctified for my name. Will I cast out my sight and make it to be a proverb and a byword among nations? And this house, which is high, shall be astonished, an astonishment to everyone that passeth by. And it shall pass by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because thou forsake the Lord God of thy fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them, and therefore he hath brought all this evil upon them. Now let's go over to Ephesians. I'll be done. Ephesians. We'll go to Ephesians. Start at verse number 10. And he says this. This is Ephesians 4 and 10. He that descendeth in the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we hence be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to effectual working in the measure of every part, make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I know I read a lot, but that digest for a moment. So if I was to use for a subject today, I want to talk with you today from the subject of simply this. Let's see here. You have goals, but he is a system. You have goals, but he is a system. So often we hear people, and now I know it's a catchphrase. I think kind of Mike Todd now gets credit for this, and people go around talking about relationship goals. No problem with that. I get it. I get where they're going, and there's no problem with nothing with having goals. But we also know that goals are just talk without work. Goals are just cliches without effort. Goals, while we must have something to work towards and attain to, mean nothing if that's not secure and excellent execution. A goal is the summit. Heaven is a goal for many, but the execution about getting to heaven may be very poor. The plan that they have to get there is very poor. There are many who have the goal of wanting to be a millionaire. Nothing wrong with that. But their plan may be a great plan, but with poor execution, they will not get there. See, many times, brothers and sisters, you and I set out. I tell you what, I set out, yep, I'm gonna lose 10 pounds this month. And I write it down and I claim it and I name it and claim it and all this stuff that we do. And I have very good intentions about doing everything I said I'm gonna do. I might even come down with a plan. This is what I'm planning to do every month. I'm gonna exercise this much, and I'm gonna eat this much, and I'm gonna do this much. And on paper, everything said that it should work out this way. So at the end of the month, I should weigh this much. Many of you have same plans that many of you said, oh, my goal is as a family, we're going to save this amount of money this year. Or that I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and I'm going to make sure I go to church every Sunday and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I don't know what your goal is because all of us have goals. I have goals and things that I want to attain to. But in doing all of these goals and going forth with all these goals, then we know the Bible tells us in the back of that we should write the vision and make it plain. They said that if you have a goal, that you should have that goal. And if you go and you look at my mirror right now in my bathroom, there are little stickies. My wife will tell you that I put the stickies on there. So I see these things every day to remind me that, okay, this is what we're doing. This is the track. Do not be so easily distracted, Peter, because you're planning to do this. This is where you want to go. And I want to meet my goal. You want to meet your goal. I want to go to heaven. I want to see God. I want to love God and all these things that you have. I want these things for my family. And I want to be able to do this. And I want to be able to do that. I want my children to be able to do this or see this or do that. And all of these things are excellent. Nothing wrong with none of them. Even in the Bible, as I read you here and I read you 2 Chronicles, there were some things that they wanted. There's some things that they planned to do. But their execution was suspect. Because the way that they wanted to do it was not the ultimate way that God had for them to be able to do it. See, brothers and sisters, I believe, and I can talk from Peter. This is Peter, I'm not giving you word. That God wants us to have above and beyond and exceeding glad. Even though that is in the Bible, I really do believe that. However, there is a path that he desires us to take to be able to attain that. And the reason that many of us do not obtain that is because we have our goals versus his system. Are y'all with me? We have our goals. I have a goal to do this. I have a goal to do that. But he has a system. See, one of the interesting things about the Bible in itself, if you look at the Bible and you read the Bible from cover to cover, what you'll find is the Bible itself is a complete system. If you look in our world, the people who are millionaires and those who have been successful and things who do have with a way of what they call, they have a system of success. And when you have a system of success, there are certain things that you want to put in it and certain things that you want to, you know, to make sure that you have. But it's not necessarily so much the personnel, because the personnel does matter, but not as important as the system itself. Think about it. If you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, God put a system in place for us to be redeemed because of what they did. See, God, the goal for Adam and Eve was to just live in the garden happily. And one of their goals was they wanted to know as much as possible. And God said, nope, I have a system for you, because if you get outside of that, it's trouble for you. I have an optimal way that I would desire you to go. But you know what? I made you a free being. I gave you free choice so you can choose what you want to do. So instead of choosing to follow the system, they chose to chase their goal. And when we chase our goals, sometimes what we find, our goals coincide with the system, and we can find ourselves distracted because we was chasing a goal and not following the system. So what does Eve do? Eve is now beguiled, as the Bible says, by the serpent. So she's distracted, and that distraction, she brings that distraction on to Adam, and now we find them in what? A situation. Now that God intervenes by creating a new system, that he said that, what, I'm going to send my son and he's going to be the ultimate sacrifice. But until he's ready, here you're going to be taking these turtle doves and you're going to be taking these bullocks and all this stuff, and you're going to be sacrificing them, and you're going to have the scapegoat, and you're going to put your sins on this, and you're going to send them away. And then I got to allow your people to go through this because I have them to help them to. I have to help them to understand that I am God, and that I am God, and there will be no others beside me. So let me give you the rules of engagement to my system. And if you follow my system, I'll take care of you. If you follow my system, I'll look out for you. If you follow my system, then I'll call you my own. And if you stay part of that system, then what? No hurt, harm, or danger can come to you unless I'll allow it, because you are a part of the system. So you're falling in line. You understand that what? You're not your own, but that you are bought with the price, and that what? You don't just go chase anything and everything that you want to do, because you are a part of the system. Are y'all with me this morning? So here, when we go to Second Chronicles 7, here he was reminding them of this system. He was saying that, well, if you turn from what you're doing, if you would humble yourselves and pray, if you will seek my face and turn from your evil ways, then will you hear from heaven, then will I forgive your sins, and then will I heal the land. Why? Because I cannot do this for you outside of my system. My system works. My system has a track record. Your goals are just goals without a system. Think about it. Everything that we continue perpetually see in this world, there's a system. How we pay people in this country, money, system. How your body works, your whole body is a system. We got digestive system, we got the nervous system, the skeletal system. It's been all around us all along, brothers and sisters, that God works in system. Even we at the church, as much as sometimes we don't like it, that is part of a system. They had the presbytery and those who approve these people and this and that. And sometimes the system is not always great and how it works for us, because we are people. We try to infuse our goals inside of the system. But if we solidly follow God's system, then we would just move and go and know this. Okay, no, God, no matter what happens, that you got me. This is what we talk about. God, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Why? Because you are following the system that he has laid out before us. But yet we have goals. My goal should probably be to follow the system. Because the system has proven itself to be worthy time and time again. He said that if you will pray, because prayer is part of the system, right? If you would fast, because fasting, yes, is part of the system. If you will humble yourselves, yes, because humbling yourself is part of the system. If you will seek my face, yes. Because seeking his will and his face is part of this system. Then he said this. Watch this. This is what I would do. I make sure that your path is straight. I would forgive your sins where you've fallen short chasing your own goals and dreams. I would heal your land. I will make you prosperous in those ways, because what you understand, that prosperity and things you have is not you, but it's the system. Do you not know that tithes and offering itself is a system? What does he say in Malachi? Let me pull it up for you real quick. Let me see if I remember. Malachi, right? And I can just quote it real quick. I don't have to quote. He says, bring in all the tithes into the storehouse, and so that the widows and those who need be taken care of, and that his house will be taken care of. And then he will what? He will rebuke those who come against you, the cankerworm, the locust, and all those things that come to eat your stuff up. That stuff will be rebuked. It's part of the system. It's not the goal. It's the system. See, so many of us get caught up that heaven is our goal. Heaven is not the goal. Heaven is a byproduct of the system. If you're following the system, if you're praying, you're fasting, you're living holy, heaven is going to be a part of it. You have no choice but to get heaven. Because see, what he's doing is, really, he's preparing us for the New Jerusalem. I know we don't talk like that all the time. But the New Jerusalem, why? The Bible talks about that this earth will be burned up. It will be judged. And then he will come back to earth and establish a new kingdom. The new heaven and the new earth. And those who die in Christ, amen, that what we should come back and be ruled. This is why he said, if you suffer with me for a little while, you should reign with me for forever. So our suffering, even though maybe you live to be 100 years, 100 years is only a small amount of suffering in comparison to eternity. Eternity, as far as you can think forward, as far as you can think backwards, that is eternity. And plus some. And plus some. And plus some. And he said, if you can just get it right this 100 years, if you can just follow my system, why? Because if you can follow my system that little time, I know you'll follow my system for eternity. Did you catch that? What he's asking us to do is to be bought into the system. See, what I do and I work, there are systems in place. I think about it often that the system that Jethro gave to Moses how to help rule the people of Egypt is a system that we even use today. Just not in higher education, but in all our workplaces, that you have the CEO, and the CEO has these managers, and then you might have mid-managers under him and mid-managers under them. So all this thing that was once big has been brought down, and each one is given a certain level of delegation and a certain level of authority to be able to do things. And if they got something they can't answer, then they take it to the next level. And then if that level got something they can't answer, they take it to the next level, and on and on and on until you get all the way to the top. And when it gets to the top, it's going to be settled. Do you not know that God works the same way with us? There is an order in our family. There is a family order. I know I'm not going to be popular for saying that, but there is. The children have their place. The wife has her place. The husband has his place. And God is in place over all of that. And when you work outside the system, you have no guarantees. The system works. Because God himself is a system. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. System. Jesus had to follow God's will by giving his life, because it was part of the plan to perpetuate the system. Remember we talked about, he said that I would, if you do these things, that I would bless your house, what? Perpetually. That means over and over and over and over again. Why? Because he has to bless the system. This is why you hear, sometimes if you watch Crow, you hear rappers and all these other people talking about how they, well, I give my 10% to the church, this, this, and this. And some people say, well, how are they blessed? Because God blesses his word. He cannot go against his word. It's the system. At least they understand that part of the system, even though they hadn't bought fully into it. And what I'm telling you and I have a tremendous opportunity, because we have the opportunity to fully buy into the system. Not that I just only tithe, but I serve him with my time. I serve him with my body. I serve him with my mind. I serve him with my heart. I serve him with my soul and my spirit. So therefore, well, I have no choice but to be successful. So even when it seems like I'm losing, I'm winning. Because I'm doing the will of the Father. So when you're going through things, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, as long as you're a part of the system, you have no choice but to go up. You got to stick it out. And I know some of you are going through some tough times right now. Some of you financially, things are just not being what you're used to. Some of you physically, your body's acting, just changing things and all, but it's still part of the system. But if you are hanging there, the Bible says it like this, that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. In the morning of the morning. While you're mourning, you're going to find joy. In that which you go through. Do you not know it's the simple things of life? See, it's systematic. That we know system. That every day, that sun, that earth, hopefully it's going to continue to rotate around that earth. Rotate around the sun. Mm-hmm. And that what? It's going to come up. The sun is going to come up again the next day. Why? And because it is a system, its outcome is predictable. Did y'all hear that? Because it is a system, its outcome is predictable. This is why I can tell you with 100% assurance that at the end, we win. Did y'all not know that? Because we're in part of the system, and the system doesn't lose. Find out where you are in the system. What part of the system are you? I see it at work, and I see it at other businesses and stuff, that people do well, but then they get to a point that they try to outride the system. No one's above the system. Right? So to be successful, we put systems in place. Systems that we know work. I've seen people, and I know one or two of them, who built churches all over America. They have a system that they use. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with their system. But does their system work? Absolutely, because if your goal is to have a bunch of people in your church every week, they got that plan for you. Now, I can't speak to the other things, and I'm not throwing shade, so I'll just stop. I want people to feel a certain way. But I'm just saying, systems work. They just do. I can't explain it. But what I'm trying to get you to buy into and understand that God has a system. And if you understand his system, and if you're willing to work in the bounds of his system, then whatever you want and have that he say you can have. It says it in the system. He told them that I will bless you perpetually. And the system comes what? For to perfect us. So watch this. Even our salvation, this is why once saved, always saved, it's not. It's a load of crap. Like I always use that example all the time. You can jump into the pool, and I can pull you out of the pool and save you, but what keeps you from jumping back into the pool again? This is why he talks about he's married to the backslider. That backslider is the person who keep jumping in the pool who don't know how to swim. Did y'all get that? That's who the backslider is. If you need a visual thought, think about that person who can't swim. And you throw the little life raft out there, and they come in, and you pull them in. And you know what? A couple of minutes later, they didn't jump back into the pool again. Mm-hmm. Now, at some point, you can get to a point, as the Bible says, he turns you over to a reprobate mind. What does he mean by that? You have abused the system so much that he just let you go. But then his grace comes in and says, he hear you out there kicking and screaming, and no, you can't swim. And he throws that raft back out there again. It saves you again. This is why he said, a just man falls 7 times. But what makes him just is that he gives up, because he knows there's a system in place for him. And I want you to know that there's a system in place for you. Stop fighting the system. Your goal has nothing to do with the system. If your goal is not integrated in the system, that's going to be a problem. See, one of the things I learned and what I do is, and I learned even in my family and learned, and it's been reiterated throughout my whole life. The way to get my goals accomplished, things that I want to get done, I need to make sure that my goals lie within the system. Did y'all get that? I need to make sure that my goals lie within the system. I want my children saved. That's in the system. I want my wife to be blessed. That's in the system. I want to live prosperously if that's God's will. It's in the system. But watch this. He said, but it's in the system. Now, how do you get in the system? Now, you got to do these things. Pray. Fast. Live right. Live justly. Treat people. Don't be bitter. Be better, as Shikari Richardson has said. Right? Work towards perfection. Watch this. Because I'm in the system, I'm never just completely perfect. This is why the Bible says what? I read the other part. Ephesians, he said, I sent for the perfecting of the church. That I sent what? I sent some apostles. That I sent some prophets and I sent some teachers, right? This is what he's saying. But he said, I sent some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Meaning simply this, that I'm in the system, but every now and then I get a quirk. How many of you know your computers, they work great, iPhones, all this stuff, they work great. And what they continually do every time they sell me a new iPhone or sell me a new computer, what they did is they made upgrades to the system. Did y'all get that? They make upgrades to the system. So this is why it's important, brothers and sisters, that you and I stay connected to God, because he's constantly making upgrades to our system. There's what you have work. Yes. Sometimes my computer will say, Peter, we have a new update. Right? And that new update will say that, oh, the update, and you can click on the thing and read all the things that the update may do. And sometimes the update will say that we're fixing security systems over here, or we're fixing bugs over here, or we got things over here that we found out about that we're fixing over here. Watch this. Did God know about them all the time? Yes, but you were not in position to be ready for them. So as you continue to go from level to level, then there's new upgrades that your system must have for you to go and survive there. Come on, God. Yes. See, there were certain things your system didn't need because you were not there. But as you continue to get there, God might upgrade your system to shut your mouth. He might upgrade your system and say you need to delete those friends. Where you thought were friends were more of associates. He may upgrade your system and say, nope, you can't spend your money like that no more. Because at this level, it looks like this. because it's still part of the system. So what I'm understanding that God is working in me and he's working in you as you continue to walk by faith and not by sight, because though I don't see it, but Lord, I trust your system, because your system says at the end that I'm going to win. So when you tell me, Lord, I got to take this away, and Lord, when you say that you sent this person in to add, Lord, it's foreign to me, Lord, I don't know nothing about it, but if you tell me it's part of the system being upgraded, that you sent somebody else in my life to speak life to me that I'm not used to, oh God, people who seem like who didn't talk to me all of a sudden want to talk to me now, and I'm wondering, oh God, is this just another distraction, oh God, or is this an upgrade to the system? And how do I know if it's an upgrade to the system? It would follow the system protocol. Woo, y'all, this thing is so sweet to me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trying to give it to him, Lord. He would give you protocols. There are things that not going to change. It's still one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's still being baptized in the name of Jesus. Those are the protocols. But when all of those hit, now I know I can accept, because it's an upgrade to my system. Does my system before that work? Yes. But you cannot add new things. When I think about my computer, I think about these cameras and stuff that we use. There's some things I cannot add to this computer or get to use. I can't use that camera. I can't use that ring light. I can't use this microphone. I can't use this software unless I make some upgrades to my system. But you got goals. You got goals, and God wants to upgrade your system. He wants to upgrade the whole way that you look at it. See, in the last year or so, God has just been moving so much. And I believe it's not by accident that he has a design that I'm here by myself a lot. I don't know a whole lot of people in this city outside of the people I serve and I work with. That's why it was so important to have my wife down here last week. I'm just so grateful that she was able to come and we were able to spend that time, you know, together. Because if they talk about this walk is a lonely walk, and it is. But I'm also at the same time being able to download what God has given me to be able to share this people. And what God has been doing, he's been upgrading my system. Safe House, he's been upgrading your system. We have not seen what God is about to do if we allow him to upgrade our system. Change the way we think about things. See, I was looking at this thing the other day that said, you know, talking about money, right? And the guy was saying that the reason some people feel that, okay, something is expensive, it's because they trade their time for money. Meaning that I literally trade part of my life to get this. And then those who have systems, meaning that investment, that's a system. We talking about this whole year, what? Deeply investing. That's what I've been telling y'all about. Let me get it here. Yep, right there. Deeply investing. That's what we've been talking about. This is what I'm still talking about. Because deeply investing is a system. Right? So those who are deeply invested in the system prosper. So I'm trying to get you to understand and help you to upgrade your system. So what they were saying about the money, they said those who make money, because, you know, I've investments, this is why things are not expensive to them, is because they traded creativity. Watch this. They traded their creativity instead of their life. See, your time. You and I know we have a limited amount of time. My time is going to run out one day. Your time is going to run out one day. So I continually, trading my time for financial resources or whatever the case may be. My time is my most important thing I have, right? As I was talking to somebody, even on just this week too, talking about the two, he called them the two T's, time and treasure. Which one do you have? Which one you have the most of? So if you're giving me your time, you're going to probably keep your treasure. And if you're giving me your treasure, I'm probably not going to get your time. But I can always find more treasure but I cannot find more time. So what is he saying? So he's finding that what? Now you will take this time. Mm-hmm. This is why it's easier for people who have millions of dollars to give away money, because they're not trading their time for it. They're trading their creativity for it. Y'all heard Sister Sherelle last week. It's just easy to her. Why? Because it's part of her creativity. I tell my wife all the time, her business, this should be, why? Because it's part of your creativity. So this should be easy for you. Don't get bogged down in your goal. Think about the system. The system is that you sell things on the internet. If you can find a system on how to package that and be able to put it out there, then the internet, now sell it to the world, not the five people. This is one of the reasons why we come on live every single week. Why? Because I'm talking to the world, not just to five or six people or 10 people in Greensboro. Not that that's not important. It's very important, because you all, that five or 10 people there in Greensboro, you are my base. You are my accountability partner. You are, when the chips are down, you all have been there. And I appreciate that. But as we get into this global system that God is calling us to, he's starting to upgrade us, and he's been working on us for some years now, so that you start to get it. So if somebody come in, you don't feel some kind of way. Hallelujah. Oh no, you ain't losing no spot, because God is already, you are in the system. You are an important cog in the wheel. They just try to figure it out, because they still what on their goals, right? So this is why you get it, because now if I'm giving money away from my creativity, which is free, which is fun, which is nice, I don't have a qualm about this treasure. So watch this. So those who make their money off creativity, you have to fight them for their time. Woo-hoo! Did y'all get that? Those who make their money or their resources who prosper off of their creativity, you fight them for their time. Why? Because creativity takes time. I've preached about this before, right? I've told you this. That the most creative people, scientifically, they said the most creative people are people who you think are lazy. Because to us, they seem to be lazy. But because they're not doing anything, thoughts freely come and go. See, I'm one of those people. I'm a checklist guy. I got to have a checklist. Boom, 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 boom. And because of that, I'm ultra focused. Ultra focused. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I lock in. That's it. You know, when I do all my academic writing and stuff, this is why people ask me, oh, you going to write another book? I know it's been like 12 years since I wrote a book. That's because I can't get the focus. Because I'm the type of person, when it comes time to write stuff like that, I just want to get in there, lock myself into a hotel room, and I come out in like 3 days. But when they come out in 3 days, you got that book. And I know that's not good, especially for academics, right? Then you have some who can do that, but see, that's how I lock in. Because when I'm focused, I'm focused. My wife will tell you, I have a one-track mind. Once I'm in on it, I'm in on it. And that has been successful for me for a very long time. But watch this, God has been upgrading my system. Peter, you can't write books like that. Peter, you can't deal with people like that. Lord, you can't take my church to the next level like that. So God has been breaking me down, upgrading my system. Hallelujah. Say, okay, Peter, let's create some new habits. You know what a system is? It's nothing but habits. How you do things. So God has been working on me. Let's create better eating habits, Peter. Because the goal for me was to lose weight. But if Peter creates better eating habits, the weight going to come off, because it's part of the system. If Peter gets up in the morning and writes a little bit for 20 minutes every day, if you keep looking at that 20 minutes, if I can write a page a day, in 100 days, I got 100 pages. Upgrade the system. If you can read only a page a day in your Bible, if you only pray for 5 minutes, that's five more minutes than you prayed ever. And those 5 minutes over a year's time, 5 times 365, look how many minutes now you've prayed. What's the math on there? Let me do that for you real quick. If you prayed every day for 5 minutes, no, you had not been praying before. But if you pray every day, where am I calculating at? If you pray every day for 5 minutes, that's 365 times five. This year, 366, right? That's 18 100 minutes. Divide that by 60. You prayed 30 hours. You almost prayed a full week of work. Woo-hoo! For 5 minutes. Did y'all catch that? 5 minutes of praying a day is 30 hours of prayer a year. Let me let that sink in for a moment. 5 minutes. Who don't have 5 minutes? Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible puts it like this. He said, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. So sometimes, and I've been contemplating doing this, sometimes I've been putting little foxes up. Not that I'm a fox guy, because you know the fox has to be clever, he's shy, he's sly, and all this stuff. But that fox, when you see a little fox, that fox is to remind me. It's the little things, Peter. You want to have big things, and you want big things for the world, and I do too, right? But watch this. These little things, it starts with the little things. What little habits are you changing? He told them, he said, if my people that are called upon my name shall humble themselves, just start with the humbling. Pray. Start with praying. Seek my face. Mm-hmm. Start with that. Turn from my evil ways. Uh-huh. The wicked ways. And watch this. Then you hear from heaven. Then will I forgive the sins. Then will you heal the land. It's a process. It's a system. So yeah, I have goals, but I understand that my goals are fulfilled if my goals lie within his system. The system is the system. The system is successful. So what I'm asking you to do, I'm inspiring you to review your habits, your TT, your time and your treasure. If you're giving your treasure, you probably don't want your time bothered. And if you're giving your time, that means you probably don't have a whole lot of treasure. But we're going to learn to balance that. Right? You spend so much time at work doing this, this, and this, you don't have no time to do this. So we want to get to a place that God's continually upgrading us. And he wants to upgrade you. This is what we call going to the next level. I read a book a couple of months ago said that what got you here will not get you there. And this is what's happening for me. I'm in a transition in my career. I'm in a transition in our marriage. I'm a transition in my body. I'm constantly in transition. And you are too. Right? I remember as a young man, I remember when I was going through puberty, and I was like, man, I often question things. I question things about myself. You know, I say I had self-esteem issues. I didn't say that. But you always had something. It was like, okay, what's going on? Why, God? And then there came a point that I hit the stride, right? And those things, and it just went and just went to the next level, and it was all good. Well, do you not know we go through the same thing as believers in our physical body? Some people call it a midlife crisis. No, this is not a crisis. This is just another transition. Because I, for one, and I can't speak to everybody else, and I'm going to be closing here. I believe that life happens in transitions, I mean, in seasons. There's a spring, and then there's a springtime of your life. There's a summertime of your life. Then there's a fall, and then there's a winter. And how your seasons move, only God knows that. And I know right now I'm just in another transition in my life. I like to think that maybe I'm transitioning to the spring of my life. I mean, the summer of my life, right? The spring that was my youth. No, maybe I'm transitioning to the fall. Who knows? Because I look at it in terms of that spring, that was me coming up, learning, doing all these things, and being a young man. And now, I got grays in my beard. people are looking up to me now. Those I looked up to, a lot of them are starting to, they're starting to be sick, or some of them have already gone on. So now when I look around, I'm like, who am I looking to? And I don't see nobody above me but God. Not that I didn't always look to him. Let's be clear. But you all know they're mentors and people who have helped us along the way and coaches that you look up to when things that the Bible said that what that it's wise to have the counsel of many elders. So now we're starting to look up, and many of us at my age are now we're starting to look up, and our elders are gone. Those sages are starting to come off of the scene. And watch this. And you and I are developing at the point that now we are starting to be those. The Bible says it like this. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What God is telling us, church, it's time for us to grow up and be who we need to be. We have a world that's all around us. That's earthquakes. The Bible's talking about in the last days, there will be earthquakes in diverse places. There's volcanoes, there's evil all over the land. There will be war and rumor of war. And I don't know about you all, they had earthquakes on the East Coast. We typically don't have a whole bunch of those. Right? Look at the time. Tornado come through. Tore up the northern part of Tennessee and southern parts of Kentucky. There's rumor of war now that the United States have said something now. I think we've given Israel an ultimatum about how they want to do things over there. Look at it. Time is ticking, y'all. And what I want to do, I want to be ready. I want to be found ready. And I want you to be found ready. And I want our church to be ready for what God is going to do if we stay in the system. I hope that you got this on today. I hope that this made sense to you on today. That it's not about your goal, but it's He. He is a system. And He has a system that's laid out. And if we follow that system, He's going to bless us. He's going to keep you. And the Bible says like this, I've never seen the righteous. What are the righteous? The ones who follow the system. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. Follow the system. God bless you all. I love you all on today. I hope that this has been a blessing to you in this morning. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways, Lord, teaching us your thoughts, helping us, oh God, to go forward, Lord, to be who you have us to be, to do what you have us to do, to say what you have us to say, to live how you have us to live, Lord, and to pray how you have us to pray, Lord, for it's your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. And we just honor you in this place on today. We honor you in this space, oh God. We honor you to know that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are a provider. You're Jehovah Nisi, Lord, that you fight our battle. You're Jehovah Sikadu, that you're God Almighty. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, Lord. And we give your name all the honor and all the praise, Lord Jesus. The glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone, for we dare not touch that glory. But all that ways, Lord, we acknowledge you. And you said that you would direct our path. As you strengthen us and keep us and love on us, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And this time we want to transition over to our offering a part of our service. If you found this word to be a blessing, or you want to be a blessing to this house on today, this is the opportunity for you to do so. Amen. Please, here at the Safe House Church, we do our giving by the way of the Cash App. Amen. You can give here to the Safe House Church at the Cash App at $SafeHouseChurch, GSO. Again, it's $SafeHouseChurchGSO, or you can do Zelle, that's offering at SafeHouseChurchGSO.com. Again, that's offering at SafeHouseChurchGSO.com, or you can just go to our traditional website, SafeHouseChurchGSO.com/give, or you can write a check or money order to Fine and Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's Fine and Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. God bless you all. I love you all. I'm so grateful to Him from whom all blessings flow. And all the tithe and offering, bring it into the storehouse. It will be a blessing to the house of the Lord. All right. I have nothing else to share with you on this morning. I am spent, as they say. But God is good and he's worthy to be praised. So remember, on this week, we will have our daily prayer service. Amen. So let's pray on this on each and every day. So meet us there on Zoom in the morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know some days we struggle. We all do. Amen. We all have days that we struggle. And then there's some days we just can't wait to get in there. But the thing is, what's just most importantly is that we're consistent in what God has given. Consistency doesn't mean that you get it right every single time, but you definitely get it right more than you get it wrong. Amen. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful, God, for those who are just consistent in their walk with him. So please be reminded that we will have our prayer Monday through Friday as we typically do. So let's go there. Also, on Wednesday night, we will have our Bible study. So we'll be back to our traditional Bible studies. We're trying to finish the book of Exodus. I ask that you please come, amen, and share there in Bible study. Thinking about changing some of the format in that. Thought it was been going pretty good, but the attendance has not been where we want it to be. Amen. So we're going to see if we can switch it up a little bit. And maybe another format where it work a little bit better for our saints. Amen. But they say preaching get them, but teaching keeps them. Amen. So we want to be able to not only get you here, but also keep you here. All right, so and then we'll be in service here again virtually on next Sunday. So God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have a tremendous, tremendous week. And I ask that God continue to shine on you as he has on us. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care and have a tremendous rest of the week. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye.